Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. And may the words of all our mouths and all our attitudes and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in Thy sight when we leave this place. So that we not only glorify You, but we will also magnify You. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning, we will have a variety of scriptures. The first one is 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Romans 12, 9-16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
And now Matthew 25, 31-45. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those on His right,
Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was a stranger, and you invited me in.
Lord, when did we see you a stranger and invite you in?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in.
Lord, when did we see you a stranger and did not help you?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're in the third week of our series of sermons entitled New Wine for New Wineskins. We have adopted this new vision statement and a new mission statement. We have prayed over it. The church council approved it. And in some ways, I guess we have approved it. But not really. Because until we as a congregation buy in, it means absolutely nothing. We have determined the ways at which we feel and the best ways to accomplish the vision is by these four cornerstones, these four action statements. So the vision statement is that Kingswood strives to be a loving church where all are welcome. The lost are found. Disciples are made for the transformation of the world. And the way we will accomplish it are those four cornerstones. And last week we started with the first one. I truly believe we will not be able to accomplish the vision statement unless we begin with understanding that we're committed to passionate worship and discipleship. Last week I said, worship is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. When we make worship about ourselves, worship becomes very small. But when we make it about God and what God is doing in the lives of every person here, it becomes grand. If you put worship in the context that we are worshiping God just with every other Christian in the world today who is worshiping at this time, think about that. If you think about all the people who are worshiping in our time zone, and those in the next time zone that are worshiping a little earlier than us, but at the same time, we're all worshiping God with the saints in glory. We are joining together, and if we think and believe and know it's all about God, it's amazing how big worship can be. It's about what God is doing in the lives of every person here, and how the Holy Spirit is moving in the lives and the hearts of every person here. It becomes bigger, and worship becomes grand. It becomes something special. It becomes exciting about what God can do in the midst of us. But we're also, we also believe that discipleship is important. You know, it says in the New Testament, we become new creatures when we accept Christ and we become a Christian. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It says we become new creatures. The question I have is, if we never grow and we never change from the moment we accept Christ, and that was 50 years ago, are we old yet? If we're old in that we have not grown spiritually, we have not become any more like Christ since the day we said yes, are we old? God wants to do something new in every single one of us, every single day, and so new means that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, and we become more and more like Christ each and every day. I am more like Christ today than I was 30 years ago. Am I where I need to be? All of you can say, no. Right? But I am better than I was then. I'm closer to God. What I have found is the closer I get to God, the farther away I know I am. But I'm moving to perfection. That's the first one. Passionate worship and discipleship. We're also committed to radical hospitality and building a loving community. Okay, we're going to start. Well, my wife began teaching me this lesson not when we were dating. Well, she did when we were dating, but I didn't listen then. Really, it was after we got married, she really taught me this lesson. We were having a disagreement, and I was not cleaning the house. If you don't want your wife to be angry with you, start cleaning the house. They will never argue with you while you're cleaning. I saw that today. We were having a disagreement, and I was trying to put the worms back in the can as hard as I could. And what normally works is saying, but I love you, honey. And she said, don't tell me, show me. She really was saying, talk is cheap. And so when it comes to the words radical hospitality and a loving community, talk is cheap. This is what I know. When I was a young man, I was a member of a church that was the second largest church in town, and had the wealthiest members. Wasn't the largest, but it had the wealthiest members. And we were at a meeting one day, and somebody was saying, how are we seen in the community? And I shared with this group what I had heard from a friend of mine they were not a member of our church, they weren't going to church, but I said, why don't you come to our church? And this person said, I can't go there. That's the country club church, and I'm not a country club person. So I tell this in this group, I said, well, some people in town think we're the country club church. And a member of the country club said, no, we're not. And so I said, well, I guess the people that you talk to are all members of a country club. And so sometimes we think everything's fine because we're only talking to certain people. And so if I say, is Kingswood a loving church? There will be people in here who are very connected. You might have been members for 30 or 40 years. You're in a Sunday school class that you're really into. You've been a member of committees and all that sort of thing. You do things socially with the people in your Sunday school, or you're connected at the swimming and the tennis center or wherever it is. And some of these people will know you're not going to be at church before church starts. Right? Some of you are that connected. You know that your friends aren't going to be at church even before church starts. You'll know the same time they made the plans that they're not going to be at church on this Sunday, and it might be 2 weeks before. It happens. You're connected that way. Praise God. There are people that, and then some of those people, if they're sitting in church and their friend's not there, they will take a picture of where the person normally sits and text it to them while they're in church and say, your seat is empty. Where are you? The last Sunday I was out, I had a member take a picture of worship at 11 o'clock and send it to me. They wanted to prove to me they were actually in worship. Then there are people that, as soon as they find out somebody's not here, they'll call them, where were you? And that's a great thing. But this is what I also know, and I'm pointing in areas of the church, and I'm blind and I do not see you. And so if I point over here and say, don't think you're one of the goats. It's just illustration. Let's say this group of people over here is real connected to each other. They love each other. And if I ask them if this is a loving church, they would say yes. Okay? Over here, there is a group of people and they do a lot of stuff together. They go to Sunday school together. They do social things together. And if I say, is Kingswood a loving church? And they say yes. Now this group and that group don't know each other. They do not know each other at all. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There's no reason for them not to. I don't care who you are, this is not North Point. We do not have 20,000 members. There is no reason the people in this church don't know one another. We know you don't know each other, because a year ago when we moved out, I had a member who had been a member here for 20 years tell me they didn't like worshiping in the fellowship hall because they didn't know anybody they were sitting around. We didn't have 65 guests that day. It wasn't Scout Sunday. It was the summer. And only regulars showed up. I did not know the people I was sitting with. And so then you ask the question, are we a loving church? There are people who are members of our church that might be a member of a Sunday school class and they might not be, and they're not connected as well as some other people, and they can go for Sundays and nobody asks or calls. I'm so thankful for congregational care. I really am. They are doing a fabulous job. Those women, and I guess, and Tim, you've been visiting some people. He's the token. But they are methodically trying to write people and call people who are not in attendance so that people don't fall through the cracks. Because when you let people fall through the cracks, that is the determinant if you're a loving church. Because you see, when somebody joins the church and somebody's baptized here, what do we say? We will surround these people in a community of love. I don't know what love is to you, but when Paul says something about love, it's pretty hard. It's a tough decision. Please say amen. Paul goes through all that stuff about what love is, patient and kindness, not hold grudges and all that sort of stuff, you know? And those are great. But I'm going to tell you, what I really think is wrong is that we're just apathetic. We just don't care. We're lazy. I'm lazy. We really are. You see, loving takes effort. It really takes effort. It is a decision that you make every single day. And Jesus has called us to love one another. And we need, before we can love the stranger, we've got to learn to love each other. We've got to learn to care about each other. Some of you wouldn't move. I was going to say something that I shouldn't, but when we were talking about radical hospitality before, back last year, and I asked if everybody move around, and some people wouldn't move. They just said, I'm not going to move. Some of you moved for a while, and most of you are back where you used to sit, and you're assigned seating. Yeah, I know, Art. X-Lax won't even move you. But we need to move. We've got to know, people got to know that we care, and that means we got to know them. It matters. It matters for the people who fall through the cracks. And somebody say, why did you quit coming to Kingswood 5 years ago? Well, you're the first person who's ever asked me that question. If we're going to be and strive to be a loving church where the lost are found, disciples are made for the transformation of the world, we've got to love one another. And when we learn how to do that, I think radical hospitality will be easier. But radical hospitality is something we have to do because that's what Jesus does for us. It's over the top. Our cup runs over for welcoming the stranger. Welcoming the stranger. Friday night, June and I had dinner with Dan Brown and his wife Carol, Dan from up at Dunwood Methodist, and he told me this true story. A number of years ago, he went to a church, a Methodist church. He got there early. He found him a good seat. Nobody was there, so all the seats were good. But he sat down, got his bulletin. He was looking around, noticing people as they began to come in. He was reading his bulletin, the order of worship, their announcements, their finances, and all those things. And a lady tapped him on the shoulder and said, excuse me, but you're sitting in my seat. And he said, me being me, I know that happens and it's no big deal. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't know this was your seat. And they got up and moved. He had no ill will toward the lady at all, because a few minutes later, the preacher introduced Dan as their new district superintendent. He found out about radical hospitality in a church and within his district. You see, welcoming the stranger is so important. When I was reading the Old Testament this summer while I was away, you read in Exodus, well, in Genesis, you start where they start reading about the children of Israel in Egypt and what happened. And then what happens after the death of Joseph. And you hear that they stayed down there 400 plus years and they were in bondage. And then God works in a miraculous way and they have the Exodus out. And from that moment on, you keep hearing these words over and over again to the children of Israel. Remember when you were in bondage in Egypt. Do not forget what it was like when you were in bondage in Egypt. Do not forget what it was like when you were in bondage in Egypt. Because you don't want to treat other people that way. Radical hospitality is, do not forget what it was like when you were a stranger and how you felt when you went to that church for the first time. Radical hospitality is loving, doing unto others as you would have to be done unto you. If you love being treated royally in church, treat other people royally. If we really want to feel that way, we need to be that way. We need to reach out and do that. And that takes effort too. But you know, it's one thing to say that we're going to be hospitable on Sundays. But in most weeks, we have more people here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday than we do on Sundays. Who's up here then to be hospitable? You see, we like to think of people being hospitable, but our building communicates hospitality as well. Our facility, our campus. Is our campus inviting? You see, everything we're saying about being hospitable, radical hospitality, and a community of love, it's got to be seen in everything that we do, and our facility is one of them. This morning I got here at dark, and it struck me as I was walking in. Last summer we had some trees trimmed because the trees were blocking the lights. Well, the trees have grown. They're blocking lights. There's a dark patch from the portico down to the CLC, Community Life Center, door. And I thought about people who might be coming here at night for a meeting. How welcoming is that? How welcoming is it that you don't know where you're going? We have trees that block the entrance and it's hard to see the portico. Okay. Maybe we need to look at that again. But by the same token, I thought, well, what does the building look like on the inside? Did you know that if you walk in the Community Life Center and go left out the end of the door and then turn around and come back to the Community Life Center north lobby and then keep walking all the way to the nursery, other than the gym, you will not have a clue that we have a youth ministry here. You will not know that we have a children's ministry until you get to the worship care room. And we're welcoming to all. You see, it's important that everything that we do welcomes people. You wouldn't know that we are involved in mission in this church if you walk down the major hallway. Nowhere can you find out that we have a preschool in this building on this floor. You wouldn't know we have a youth floor. We don't know that we have children downstairs. That communicates radical hospitality to people who don't know. If we want people to come and we want people to feel welcome, we need to make sure it communicates everything we need to communicate about who we are. Right? When I was at Philadelphia, we had this guy that he cursed us. He said, "You know that this church is the best kept secret in all of Columbia County?" And I thought, Jesus' heart is going to be breaking. That a church is a best-kept secret somewhere? What does that say about the membership of the church? We don't want to be a best-kept secret of Dunwoody. We need to be a beacon on a hill. I will share these two things with you. I want to share two great things with you. When I first got here, one of the things I was told in an onboarding session was that one of the things we need to really work on was the relationship between the church and the school. It has not always been as good as it needed to be. And so I said, okay. One of the bright spots for radical hospitality is the Kingswood Preschool. 3 years ago, there was a family that came with a Down syndrome child that wanted to enroll their child. They could not enroll the child in other daycare or preschools in Dunwoody. And we accepted. He was a delight. Still is a delight. 2 years later, a little Down syndrome girl came and we accepted her joyfully. Radical hospitality. Last year, this little girl named Blue, she's got the most unique name that I can't remember, Blue Sky Loves something. her grandmother is her custodian because her mother is an addict in and out of jail. And the priesthood accepted her, invited her in. You see, that's radical hospitality when other people would be saying no. A couple of weeks ago, Michelle was showing somebody around. It was a parent whose preschool child is a cancer survivor, wanting to come to Kingswood. I said, what'd you say? Come on. Welcome. You see, that's the unbelievable thing where we are reaching out with radical hospitality that's different than the other and what's accepted usually. And that's beautiful. That's the kind of hospitality we need to see everywhere we are at Kingswood. The next one happened last Thursday. In my life, I have been to hundreds of finance committee meetings. And if you don't like numbers, and if you don't like talking about expenses and income, restricted accounts, debt, future expenses, you aren't going to really like these meetings. They're pretty, even a good one is not very good. But Jim was, we were trying to implement this model of ministry within our every committee. So we began with a prayer. And unlike most of the meetings I've been to, we had a time of praise. Now in that meeting with men and a few women, we praised God for Louise McCann's 80th birthday. We praised God for other things. And then we got around to praying for people. We prayed for many of the, and lifted up the people's names that I mentioned before our prayer. There was one member of that committee who is only a member. The only thing I know this person does is come to church at 8:45 and is on that committee. And he hobbled in. And he got to share to his family on the finance committee what he's endured over the last 7 or 8 months. And the compassion that I saw in the eyes of the people around that room was unbelievable. And at the end of the meeting, oh, I forgot to say, we praise God for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to the church, your stewardship. It was good. But when we got through and after we had the prayer to close and I was walking out of the room, I really couldn't remember if I was in a Bible study, a prayer meeting, or a worship service. Because it did not feel like a finance committee meeting. Because within that group, we became a group and a community who loved one another. It was the greatest feeling I've ever had coming out of a finance committee meeting because love was seen in the place as we did our business. And you see, that's what we need to see everywhere we are, in every committee meeting, in every ministry meeting, everything that we're doing, so that there is genuine love for one another. And in this place, so that no one falls through the cracks. Not the person who's been a member here for a long time or the one who's trying to decide if they want to be a member. We need to be radical in our hospitality and really radical in building a loving community. I pray that we will do that in the weeks and months ahead. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to care. Place a burden in our hearts to care enough to go and speak to people we do not know, people we should love. Give us the courage and the desire to be radical in our hospitality and loving one another, welcoming the stranger. And so, Lord God, may it be seen, not only in this place collectively, but within us individually. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.